Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Sunday, October 24th. And we are looking at the early odds for week 8 of the NFL season. I'm not entirely sure why I'm looking. My picks have been so bad that I just wait and look at the lines later. But we'll give it a shot anyway. Joining me to break those down, John Breach. What's up, buddy?
Brinson, there is not too much up. It's one Sunday till Halloween. I'm not in costume, but I will be next week, I think.
I'm excited about that. I love getting in costume for a Halloween show. Why are we? Are you going to wear like your family costume? Or are you going to wear?
Probably. I mean, we'll keep it family friendly, right?
What are you guys going to be?
We are being the Monsters Inc.
Oh, that's cool.
The little baby girl is Boo because she has really long hair and looks like Boo.
Cool. We're being Among Us, Sussy Bacas. You don't know what that is, do you? We don't need to get into it. Let's dive into the lines. We got a few that we are going to examine for week 8. And we begin with the Packers at the Cardinals. Thursday night football. Great Thursday night football game. Hello, Fox. Thanks for the $2 billion. The Cardinals moved to 7-0 with a casual win over the Texans. Although it was a little dicey early on. Arizona's looked sharp. Green Bay just, you know Green Bay did what Green Bay does, and they, probably played a little bit worse than maybe the score indicated. And Washington had some, issues near the goal line. But both these teams look like absolute viable NFC contenders. And this is a pretty huge game for, Arizona. It's like, you're 7-0. We believe in you. You beat the Rams. Can you go and, can you take care of business with Aaron Rodgers coming to town? Cardinals -3.5, over under 53, Breach.
Yeah, and it's a big game for the Cardinals because if they win, you're also two games up on the Packers for the number one seed in the NFC. Like you said, they already beat the Rams. So all of a sudden, you're getting these tiebreakers over the other top contenders in the conference. And you know what? We've dealt with so many bad Thursday night games over the years. I feel like this is the NFL's way of paying us back. I mean, undefeated versus Aaron Rodgers on Thursday, this is going to be bonkers. One thing I will say about this game is that usually if I see Aaron Rodgers playing in prime time, I just say, take my money. I'm betting on Aaron Rodgers and that's it. And I don't do any other. I don't even look at the game. I don't care what the point spread is. I'm just betting on Aaron Rodgers. But for this game, it's a little different because I think that both offenses are so good. It's going to come down to the defensive side of the ball and how each team plays on that side. And I trust Arizona's defense more than I trust Green Bay's defense. And I think that for me, that's what it's going to come down to. And also, here is one kind of crazy fact. Since Thursday night football started in 2006, any team that has had to fly two time zones west to play a game is 1-13 straight up. The Cardinals are in Pacific time right now, even though they call it Mountain Standard Time in Phoenix, but they are 2 hours time difference from Central Time. So this is two time zones west for the Packers, and every team ever 1-13 straight up, 1-12-1 against the spread.
Yeah, we were talking about that with some friends last week. Arizona does not acknowledge or utilize daylight savings time. They're the only state in the entire country that refuses to do daylight savings time, which is super weird. And then two, they operate on Pacific time, but they say they're in Mountain time zone, right?
Right. So they're on Mountain Standard Time year round. So if this game had been played.
Oh, that's what it is. They're not on Pacific. They're on Mountain Standard Time year round. Right.
So if this game had been played in 3 weeks from now, then the Central Time Zone would only have a 1 hour time difference with Phoenix.
Because of the daylight savings time.
Because daylight savings time would be ending. But since it's being played before that, it is a 2 hour difference. So it qualifies for this crazy stat.
That is weird. By the way, the Cardinals and the Packers tied second overall in the NFL against the spread on the season, both 6-1 against the spread. Green Bay, oddly, despite being 6-1 against the spread, has covered, I don't even know how this is possible, by an average of negative 1.8 points, according to teamrankings.com, which doesn't, I don't know how that makes sense for 6-1. It's a negative number. Arizona is covered by an average of almost 12 points. So the Cardinals have.
I think
have,
that incorporates all their games. So their 35 point loss weighed into not covering.
No, of course it does. I'm just saying it's like, how is that possible? Yeah, because they failed to cover the spread by that much. I would, I don't think this is one that you have to worry about betting on in terms of the line moving. 3.5. I don't see the Cardinals getting up to 5, right? I don't really see them getting up to 4. I mean, nobody, books are not going to make Aaron Rodgers a 5-point dog on the road in a primetime game, you know, even against a good defense. Maybe the total could climb up. You know, we won't have to deal with any weather. It's indoors, Arizona. So if you like the over, I could see that climbing up to like 55 or something like that. The only problem is these teams, the Cardinals do have a good defense, as you point out, and the Packers are a little more methodical and plodding and have played some pretty decent red zone defense too. They like to run the ball. They're not afraid to sort of take the air out of the ball. And so I don't know. I don't think the numbers are shooting up, but I would think that it would climb higher rather than get lower. I don't think we'd see this number get, you know, down to 51 or 50. That would be very, very surprising.
Yeah, and I like the Cardinals to cover. Just I don't think I made that completely clear.
I probably like the Cardinals too. Let's see. Yeah, I think the Packers. Yeah, I think I like the Cardinals. Don't love them. I mean, who knows? We'll see. The Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals are a 9.5, almost double-digit road favorite in New York against the Jets at MetLife Stadium with an over-under of 44. Cincy playing great defense, and Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase is. I saw some, you know, somebody was like, "I'm going to do." It was Mike Ruiz on a Dan Le Batard thing. He's like, "I'm going to do a sports talk radio thing." He's not the offensive rookie of the year. He's the MVP, Jamar Chase. Your Bengals look great, Breach. Would you dare take the Jets in this spot?
Well, first of all, I'm not sure what to think of the Bengals going on the road and being a 9.5-point favorite. This is only the second time in 39 years the Bengals have been favored by 9 or more points on the road. So this almost never happens. I don't know what to make of it. This kind of feels like a trap game. You're coming off this huge emotional win over Baltimore. Now you have to fly to New York to play one of the worst teams in the NFL. But you know what? I fell for it 2 weeks ago. I thought the Bengals were going to be in a trap game against the Lions. I picked the Lions to cover. Mm. And you know what happened? The Lions did not cover. The Bengals actually won 34-11. I think we're going to see some of the same thing here. I just don't think the Jets have very much talent on either side of the ball. And I think even if the Bengals sleepwalk through this game, that they have enough talent to beat the Jets by double digits. So I don't think we're going to see the type of blowout we saw with Detroit. But I won't be surprised if the final score is like 27-17, which would get them to the cover.
The Bengals have the fourth best point differential in football right now, behind Arizona 111, the Bills at 105, and the Buccaneers at 86. Cincinnati checks in at 61. Worth noting, the Cowboys at 59 had the week off, of course. But the Bengals are technically in the driver's seat to win the division. The scary thing is, like, they're going on the road against a really bad Jets team. But we saw the Titans lose to the Jets in a very similar spot where it was obvious that, you know, it was like, oh, this is Derrick Henry's smash spot. They're going to pound Derrick Henry all up and down. You know, the Jets won't be able to deal with it. And the Jets managed to flip it on them. So that's the one thing that worries me. But I do think that this game would likely move towards double digits. If anything, just because of interest in betting on the Bengals, the total here, I don't know how much further down it can go. We saw with San Francisco and Indianapolis on Sunday night, where the total is 44. There's a boom monsoon or a chaos monsoon or typhoon or something like that. Boom typhoon, and as a result, the total dropped down to like 41 before kick. So I would be surprised if this total dropped a ton. But if the Bengals are playing well and have a lead, I don't know how much Joe Burrow will get. I think we'll get a lot of Joe Mixon, and maybe that could lend itself to the under. I just don't think that the total will come crashing down. I would think that the Bengals would move up. I don't know. I just can't back the Jets here. The Bengals are blowing teams out right now and playing good football. It is weird times to be alive. Obviously, check out our Sunday night full show, full Sunday recap, because John Breach will be taking some victory laps as a result of that game against the Ravens.
So many victory laps.
The Pats at the Chargers. Man, what a world. Chargers are my, this is, everything's flipping on our faces. The Chargers are -5.5 against Bill Belichick and the Patriots, who absolutely curb stomped the Jets on Sunday. The Chargers are coming off a bye. The over under here, 48 breach.
This is, to me, one of the weirder point spreads of the week. I don't really know what to make of it. It seems surprisingly close. But one reason, I guess, is possible the reason it's close is because, you know what? Justin Herbert, offensive rookie of the year last year, was great against almost everyone. You know who he wasn't great against? The Patriots and Bill Belichick. The Patriots went into LA and they beat the Chargers 45-0 last year. Now, I know that a lot of people, you don't necessarily have to look at last year, but here's what you do have in common with last season. You have Bill Belichick coming up with a defense to stop the quarterback that he's completely
No Tom Brady.
And this is he completely befuddled Herbert last year. Herbert looked completely lost on the field, and the Patriots defense is better than it was last year. So I think this is an interesting spot. And right now I'm leaning Patriots. I think I'll probably pick the Chargers straight up. But I think I like the Patriots to cover here.
Yeah, Chargers are a much better team. The Patriots crank their point differential up to 39. Like, they're 3-4. They're back in the mix, though, and they took care of business against the Jets. I mean, they absolutely obliterated the Jets. I don't really think they've got any – They don't really have any good wins, the Patriots. But they could easily have pulled off a couple more wins or a couple more losses. They could have beaten Miami. They certainly could have beaten the Buccaneers. I mean, those games were very close. So New England, to me, is a team that is going to –
You said they don't have any good wins. Two of their three wins are against the Jets. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. I was like laughing. I was like, did they get blown out by the Bucs? I was like, let's forget. In other words, like, I'm worried that the Chargers could light them up, but we have seen Brandon Staley coach teams. I think the under here is the play. 48 is way too high a number here for me. I think that number comes down to 45. Brandon Staley, Belichick likes to run the football. The Chargers are a run funnel. They don't want you to pass. Belichick likes to run. We saw Damien Harris have a huge day on Sunday. And the Chargers are a little more methodical than maybe a team that you would think. And I don't think they'll want to be aggressive and up-tempo and put Justin Herbert in a situation where he's going, you know, head-to-head with Bill Belichick. So I would look at I would think if you like the Pats or the under here, I think those are both good looks on Sunday, because I would expect that this line creeps closer to a field goal and that under comes down to like 45. Certainly won't have to worry about weather. We don't think, because LA is always nice any time of the year. The Browns are -3 against the Steelers. What a world. Again, what a world. Over under 43.5. I would say on this one, Breach, that we know Kareem Hunt won't play because he's on IR. We don't know what the deal with Nick Chubb is. Not that it mattered. I mean, they got, you know, a stable of backs, apparently. I don't think we technically know if Baker Mayfield or Case Keenum will play. So it's kind of a tough one to pick. I don't know that there's a whole lot to do with this one. I just can't see the Browns without all of these players I can't see this line getting too far out.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, no, we don't know if Nick Chubb's going to play. We don't know if Baker Mayfield he's got one shoulder. He's got a broken humerus, but like, there's just, his body is falling apart. He's a one-arm quarterback. He can't be a one-arm quarterback. And if they give him more time to rest, then you're going to be starting Case Keenum. And the only reason the Browns won with Case Keenum on Thursday night is because D'Ernest Johnson had the game of his life. Keenum couldn't throw the ball downfield. D'Ernest Johnson literally had to carry that team to a win. They're not going to be able to run all over the Steelers like they did to the Broncos. And so if the Steelers bottle up the run, then now you need either Case Keenum or one-arm Baker Mayfield to win the game for you. And I have a tough time seeing that happen. It's not like the Steelers have some super high-powered offense. So we know this game is not going to be a shootout. I feel like it's going to be a defensive struggle. And you rarely see a blowout in a defensive struggle. So in a defensive struggle, which I've now just said three straight times, I'm going with the underdog, and I'm going to take the Steelers to cover here.
Yeah, actually, I think the move would be to take the Steelers now. I don't think the Steelers will be favored because the Steelers aren't a very good football team, but Big Ben destroys Cleveland in his career. They passed on him at least once, maybe twice. He hates Cleveland. He likes to, you know, I mean, because he Well, he went to Ohio, Miami of Ohio, your alma mater as well.
He went to high school in Ohio. He's from Ohio.
He hates Cleveland in the sense that he feels like they had a chance to bring him in. He could be the Browns quarterback of the future, and they pass him. So he likes to light them up. You know, there's so many injuries on both sides of the ball for the Browns that we could see a situation where Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills don't play. And, you know, they expended a lot of emotional energy, I think, against the Broncos on that Thursday night game, trying to win a game with – they've had extra rest. That's great. But I would guess that this gets closer to even before it goes out the other way. And a total of 43.5, probably not going to come – it's not going to go shooting one huge way or the other. But if it were – I wouldn't be surprised if it got down to 41. And, of course, keep an eye on Cleveland weather because it's, you know, it's late October. It could be windy as hell. It could be raining. There could be a boom, typhoon, monsoon thing. Sunday Night Football. This line rancid. The Cowboys headed to Minnesota where they're a 1-point favorite against the Vikings and a total of 53. I am surprised by this number.
I mean, I'm assuming this number has everything to do with we don't know if Dak Prescott is 100% going to be available. Fair. He's dealing with the calf injury, and there had been multiple reports this week that he might not be able to practice Monday, maybe not even be able to practice early in the week. So this is all about the injury report. If Dak Prescott is out there practicing by Wednesday, that likely means he's going to play. And if Dak Prescott is playing, I am pounding the Cowboys. I believe the Cowboys are the only team in the NFL that's covered the spread in every single game this year. I think they're a much better team than the Vikings. But if you take Dak Prescott out and he is not playing, then I am pounding the Vikings. So this literally just comes down to whether or not Dak's playing. And if he's out there, then I like the Cowboys.
Well, if there's no Dak, then the Vikings would probably be 5.5 point favorites, 4.5 point. All right, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
This line's moving pretty quickly right now as we speak, though, because it's already up to Cowboys -1.5, -120. So if you like the Cowboys, you want to bet it now. That probably indicates too the Dak is likely to play. The total is also, I've seen it maybe up a half a point in certain spots where it's 53.5. I don't really see it getting to 55. But the thing about the Vikings is the Vikings defense is not that great. The Cowboys defense is probably better than the Vikings right now, but the Vikings are willing to help raise the number of plays that occur in any given game. Sort of like if you can get the Vikings down, Kirk Cousins will start winging it to Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, and they'll play whatever game you want to play. So it's possible that this turns into a shootout. It is a primetime game, so I don't see the total cratering by any stretch of the imagination. It's obviously indoors. I would bet the Cowboys now and assume that Dak Prescott's going to play if you like the Cowboys, obviously. And I would lean the Cowboys here, too, with you, if Dak is playing, of course. And I guess the over, but that feels kind of chalky. Finally, Monday Night Football. The hapless Kansas City Chiefs are hosting the also hapless New York Giants. The Chiefs tied at the bottom of the basement. They have a negative point differential 7 weeks into the season. Patrick Mahomes looked awful. They couldn't score against Tennessee's not great defense. They are now several games back of the Raiders, and the Giants are 2-5. They're one game up on the Giants. They're closer to the Giants then they are the Raiders, which is just weird to think about, Breach. This line, Chiefs -10, over under 52.5.
This is crazy. Have the odds makers watched a single Chiefs game this year? I mean, the Chiefs have not looked good at all, and especially when they're trying to cover the point spread, there's no way they should be favored by double digits in any game right now. I mean, you look at on a season, I think they're 2-5 against the spread. They're 4-18 against the spread, or 4-14 against the spread in their last 18 games. I mean, right now the Chiefs are literally the last team in the NFL that I would ever bet against the spread. I would take the Lions in a game against the spread before I would take the Chiefs. And so I just can't trust them to beat a team by double digits. I mean, it doesn't feel like the Giants would be able to keep it within single digits, but you just can't bet on the Chiefs right now. And so I'm not going to bet on the Chiefs, and I'm going to take the Giants here.
I would guess that this comes down a little bit, maybe nine and a half, 8.5. I don't know. I mean, that's a ton of points. The Giants are fighting for their lives here. And while the Giants are not good, the other thing, too, is you got to look at the Giants' health, right? I mean, Sterling Shepard was out. Saquon Barkley was out. They had Dante Pettis was their top receiver in week 7. So it is entirely possible that they won't have anybody for this game. If that's the case, then you have to be a little bit worried. But I think the Giants' defensive line, or offensive line, is, for as bad as it is probably good enough to hold off the Chiefs, so that Frank Clark and Chris Jones are there that you have to deal with. The Giants should be able to score enough against a bad Chiefs defense to stay within the hunt and to maybe backdoor cover. I agree with you. The Chiefs, who are 2-5 against the spread, just shouldn't be a 10-point favorite. I'm kind of intrigued by the under here, because I think it could come down closer to 50. 52 is a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, Chiefs games just get a little crazy. You don't know if you're going to get the 27-3 like they did with the Titans, or like the 33-29 in week one against the Browns, or 36-35 against the Ravens. Like, Chiefs games can go all over the place, and I don't like taking unders in any game where Patrick Mahomes is playing.
That's fair. And it's like, were the Giants good on defense on Sunday, or did the Panthers just stink? It's hard to tell. But I would guess that the line moves closer to the Giants and that the line drops towards the under. All right, that's it for us. Breaking down week 8 early odds. Subscribe, rate, review, hit that YouTube like button, comment with your early bet, your favorite bet ahead of week 8 in the comments, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Yo, what's up, Lollapalooza?
It was meant to be a farewell concert, but it changed the music industry forever.
We gotta do it again.
And launched the careers of countless artists.
We had all been underground bands, but that was changing.
All while giving the mainstream the middle finger.
That's entertainment.
Don't miss this 3-part docuseries that was 30 years in the making. Lala, the story of Lollapalooza. New docuseries now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.